the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight, driving by the way things ought to be. Tonight I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my countrymen, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and falling down to me. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. If you're running down my countrymen, you're walking on the fighting side of me. The guy who claims he just don't believe in fact. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They live on milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the back beside me. Yeah, walking. Down with life, I'm fighting in the fort and dying. If you don't love and leave it, this song I'm singing be a warning. You run down my country, man, you walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down with life, I'm if you don't love and leave it, let this song I'm singing be warned. You run down my country, man, you walking on right beside me.
Yes, when you run down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me, and that's the name of this program. Here on altrighttv.com or whiteresistanceradio.com. Well, this is Paul Prom, and lots more news and views for our people, and of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia, New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. Well, yesterday, Sunday, was an interesting day in Vancouver. A couple dozen people gathered for a rally at City Hall, and it was all about the coronavirus pandemic panic or scare. And they wanted to defiantly show that they were not going to be driven indoors. No, they weren't gathering closer than 6 feet from one another. They weren't doing something that probably, or perhaps, might be foolish. But they wanted to show that they were not going to follow what seemed to be almost the implied directives that stay indoors and don't come outside, except for the most urgent of things, like to perhaps to shop for food or medicine. This is kind of important because citizens are being bludgeoned into a police state panic. Now, there are police forces in various parts of Canada, some place more so, some place much less so, actually arresting people for walking alone in a park. One fellow removed a barrier, or hopped a barrier, and walked through a park. Police came after him, and they arrested him. In some parts of Canada, like in the province of Quebec, police are stopping people, not allowing them into the province from Ontario unless they have a good reason. And for instance, well, I'm going up to my cottage in northern Quebec. Oh, that's not a good reason. We were told that over the weekend here in Ontario, the Ontario Provincial Police, or the OPP, were stopping cars coming from the Toronto direction on the way to Cottage Country up in Muskoka and Halliburton, demanding to know where they were going. Proper answers, none of your business. If they said, well, we're going up to a cottage, not allowed. Well, why not? Well, because. Well, okay, there's a sort of a lame reason. The idea is, supposedly, they don't want people with the coronavirus from the big city coming up to small town or rural or semi-rural areas and infecting the people. But there's already a lot of traffic. I mean, these areas are not isolated. They're not out on an island in the middle of nowhere. There's already a lot of traffic back and forth. Some of these people actually work in the big city. Okay. Well, the other reason is this. If you go up to your cottage, you're probably going to stay in isolation in your cottage. So isn't that a good thing? Taking some people out of the big city, well, isn't that a good thing? Well, the idea is if you get sick, you'll overwhelm the local hospitals. Okay. Let's think about that rationally. So far, considerably less than one percent of Canadians have even tested positive for the coronavirus. But most people with the coronavirus show relatively minor symptoms. Okay? Only about 20% become quite ill. Of those, only a tiny percent are so ill that they have to be hospitalized. So, yeah, there's a risk, I suppose, that somebody comes from Toronto or already has the coronavirus but doesn't know it, it begins to progress. And it progresses so badly, so severely, they must go to the local hospital. Yeah, there's a possibility of what might happen. There's also a possibility that if you feel yourself getting sicker, you retreat back to your home base, which is in Toronto, which is perhaps 1.5, 2, 3 hours away. This is another one of these almost hysterical scenarios. And we're seeing this to greater or lesser extents all across the country. We are heading, or we are perhaps already there, in a police state. So, a group of Vancouver area citizens on Sunday decided to have a rally of defiance that, no, we're not going to be pushed around. Yes, we'll be prudent. No, we're not going to go in up or go have a big group hug. Or a big, you know, like a kiss in or anything like that. No, but we are going to gather, and we don't want to be pushed around. I heard today on the radio some commentary that was just furious at this gathering all the way across 3/4 of the way across the country in Toronto. The MSM, the mainstream media, or the lamestream media, as I call it, or the fake news media, were just infuriated at these people. These people were irresponsible. They were fanatics. And imagine the sort of things they said. And actually, some of the things, one of the things that I heard attributed to some of the protesters made a lot of sense to me. And it was this: if you are quarantined because you're sick, that's a public health measure. If you're quarantined because you're well, that's tyranny. It is. It's tyranny. And to please our masters, they want us in virtual quarantine. Now, in most areas in North America, they say, well, yeah, you can go out to shop for essential goods, like food and for food and medicine. In England, it's even more severe. people are being stopped on the street because they haven't been able to convince a bobby or a cop that they've their reason for going out is sufficiently important. Somebody said, we want to go down to the local candy shop, sweet shop, or we might call it a variety store, to pick up a newspaper and a lottery ticket. Well, that wasn't deemed to be sufficient reason to be out and abroad. Well, what happened to our rights? Why must I justify to some copper why I'm on the street? Assuming I'm not, you know, within 6 feet of somebody else. There's a video that's gone viral, and you can get it on my Facebook, and it's Frederick Fromm, or if you want to email me, I'll send it to you, paul@paulfromm.com. This is a video from England. There's a lot of bad language in it, but three police smashed down the door of this Englishman's house. I believe he's in the north of England from his accent. And he's not very happy, and he's really giving them what for. He wants to know what they're there for. Do they have a warrant? Well, they've heard that there was a gathering in his house. He says didn't want to let them in. He said, I don't have to let you in. It's my house. Anyway, they smash their way in, and they search the place, and there is no gathering. It certainly gives them a piece of his mind in very salty language. And I ask myself, what is this world coming to? And, you know, Donald Trump said something, I think, pretty profound. He said, we've got to be careful that the cure isn't worse than the disease. If we make our country into a police state, are we really in a better place? Well, anyway, this rally in Vancouver attracted a lot of people. I'm sorry, it attracted a lot of attention. Absolute outrage. And there was a reporter there. I just want to make sure I've got this right here. What does he call himself here? I think it's the Truth Media. And this is Dan Dix. He had a report on this up on Twitter, on YouTube, and it got over 2 million views, and it was taken down. you know, we're in a constant battle with the censors and the thought police. Yeah. Anyway, this is his video. It's called "I Got My End the Lockdown Trending Video on Twitter," and he's received a lot of threats. He's received death threats, and people wanting him to be arrested. There's people even hoping he dies. And a good friend of mine from Vancouver writes, it's incredible how 24 people can trigger the establishment around the world so much. What I notice is that they appear to be reading a similar script, calling the protesters conspiracy theorists and demonizing them for going against the main narrative. This is a report by Dan Dix, who went to the gathering, which was called End the Lockdown. He went to the gathering and reported on it, and his report has gone viral and is being suppressed. So I'm privileged to run to play this for you now. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com.
So Ed Snowden,
I don't know how we managed to leap from one to another.
Here we are. Views overnight. Hashtag end the lockdown is the number one trend on Canadian Twitter. YouTube video officially taken down. Mainstream media hit piece articles and the vile and violent Twitterverse. If you didn't exist, the world would be a better place. COVID, do your thing. Punk ass, you come near me, I'll knock you out. Wanna be revolutionary? Burn him. Lock these assholes up. Hey, Vancouver police, find them, set them on fire. Do whatever you gotta do. What did I do, you may be asking? Well, I challenged the status quo. So in this video, I'm going to show you the effect that that has on the minds of the masses who, as I've suggested in my viral tweet, have drank in far too much of the Kool-Aid. Yesterday, I went to Vancouver to cover a protest called No More Lockdowns. If you surrender your freedoms, you may not get them back. And I tweeted out these two videos to let the world know that this was happening.
We are on our way to Vancouver City Hall to take part in a protest today where a whole bunch of people are defying the lockdown orders, as they should disobey unlawful orders. And here's the group here. Looks like we got about a dozen people so far. And good on them. Get on them. Hey, how's it going? Hey, how are you? How's it going? You can get a shot of your sign. Nice. Uh-oh, better not get too close. Cool. Alright guys, we're here in downtown Vancouver for a massive march against tyranny. Look at all the people. A number of Vancouverites aren't drinking the Kool-Aid, and they're getting out and they're getting together here to show the world that we're not okay with unlawful orders and quarantines and lockdowns.
Stay here.
Getting a lot of support too from cars driving by.
Yep.
Not everybody drank the Kool-Aid, couldn't see.
This prompted some reactions like this one from Canadian actor and director Seth Rogen, who said, "You're an effing idiot. Stay inside." To which I replied, "What's idiotic is this overblown authoritarian clampdown and the shutting down of small and medium businesses in the global economy, which will cause far more deaths in the long run than the disease ever will. Their cure is worse than the problem itself." And that's my position here. When it comes to the numbers, they simply cannot be trusted, as was outlined by Dr. Ron Paul in an interview I shot with him earlier today.
I think all the scare tactics are scare tactics. Some people die. There's no doubt that very, very few of the many thousands that have supposed to have died, they've all had three or four, you know, a large majority had three or four other diseases, and they're elderly people in nursing homes. And they've been instructed by CDC and other politicians that when you sign, the doctor sign a death certificate, if they have four different things, but they happen to have a positive test for the virus, that is to be put down as the major cause of death. So the numbers mean nothing. And then when it comes to how many people don't they measure, how many people got the virus and had no effect? My son had it, and he got better without any treatment. So there are probably millions of people. The number, percentage-wise, the number is probably very, very small. We know that influenza kills a lot more people than the coronavirus, because we don't even know how many people the coronavirus killed, but it's a lot less than what they claim. But it's just a justification to rush and politicize it, spend money and get it geared up to have vaccines. But just from what I know, if next week they came out and said, you know, we have a vaccine and it's 99% is going to protect you from coronavirus. Ron, don't you think you should take it? And I say, no, I don't want to. I wouldn't take it. But I think the one thing in a free market and free market medicine, the doctor and the patient and their attitudes make the decision, not a bureaucrat. When the bureaucrat makes the decision, it happens. What happens is what happened in 1976. People die from the treatment. And it shouldn't be that way. It should be individual. in a free society, everything is voluntary. But right now, we're moving in the opposite direction because, you know, Fauci and Gates, they're determined that this is just the beginning and that we've just entered a decade of vaccines and that we're going to have vaccines for everything. And that to me is scary. And we need to get the government out of the business. They're not capable of providing protection. It's not the job of the government to make us economically secure or safe. That's the job of individuals, because governments tend to end up doing exactly the opposite.
He's absolutely correct. But unfortunately, this information is not making it to the masses because it's not being reported on by the mainstream media. They're the ones pushing a fear state that has everyone caught up in a frenzy where they're not only willing to give up their rights, they're now demanding the government take it from them. But when I try to bring alternative information to the discussion here that will enlighten people as to the real crux of the matter, I'm the one who gets silenced. Destroying the global economy and potentially wiping out the middle class is something people should be far more worried about rather than policing one another to fall in line with these jackboot thugs. Dr. Anthony Fauci predicted that 200,000 Americans would die, with millions of people being affected, but they've since had to roll that number back to just 60,000. But the damage was already done in the minds of the masses. To them, this was now a very serious and dangerous threat that they had to be afraid of, all thanks to Fauci, who is funded by Bill Gates. And Gates also funds the World Health Organization, and he's also funding the vaccine race. And this is a man who's a computer software nerd. Why is everyone taking his advice? So the bottom line is, I'm not the enemy here, folks. I'm seeing that the numbers are not adding up, and that in many cases, they are flat out lying to us. So unless we challenge the status quo that's currently coming from the government, life on this planet is going to get very difficult for all of us. And my friends, the attacks have been brutal. I'm getting death threat emails and thousands of violent comments by the minute, all because I went for a walk with my wife and 20 other people. Let that sink in. And please, click the thumbs up button and share this video if you found the information to be useful, because the shadow banning is heavy around here, but with your help, that won't matter. And if you like the idea of hashtag end the lockdown, take a stand and organize one in your city, and let the world know we're as mad as hell and we're not going to take it anymore. Thanks for watching, my friends. Stay tuned for more video reports coming soon. This is Dan Dix reporting for Press for Truth.
That is Dan Dix with Press for Truth. Very, very, I thought a very, very moving report. And this is this is all because of the end the lockdown protest. Well, something else was happening today I found encouraging. Apparently, even there in crazy California, some common sense is still to be found. And I didn't catch the whole of the story, but there's a roadway outside of San Francisco that is being cleared. there isn't a lot of traffic, so now it's being cleared so people can, I guess, bicycle there, walk or jog or just enjoy themselves, I guess, as long as they keep 6 feet apart. Well, that makes sense. Similarly, apparently in Oakland, some city streets are going to be closed or made into kind of pedestrian streets. Homeowners will still be able to drive to their homes or leave their homes, but otherwise there won't be traffic on the street so that people can walk and get out. Now, that makes so much more sense than what's being enforced in Toronto and much of Canada and in Britain, where people are being practically jammed indoors. And not every place is, not every indoor place is all that healthy. I mean, sometimes the ventilation isn't all that great. It's one thing to, you know, to be there for meals and to sleep at night. It's another thing to virtually be marooned there 24/7. Getting out should be a priority, and if not it should at the very least be permissible. It's healthy. The fact that there is some governments, not all, but some, that want to force you to stay inside almost all the time, I think is grotesque. And so I agree with this and the shutdown movement. This is massively taking away people's rights. And I don't think it's good judgment. And it comes down to, in places like Toronto, to the government taking an extremely negative view of people. We are treated like children. Now, you know, I think as adults, we have not just the right, the duty to insist on to the politicians, in the words of grim Greta Thunberg, how dare you? Now, how dare you treat me like a child? On the belief that if I went to a park, I would be so foolish or out of control that I will go right up to somebody, go well within that 6 foot space. Let me get right in their face and kiss them or breathe on them or embrace them or whatever. How can you make that judgment? Why would you assume I will not act like an adult? You see, it's the same idea as what's behind gun control. It's assumed that we will be so irresponsible, if we're allowed to have a gun, that I will take that gun out and I will shoot somebody. Or I'm such an idiot that I will play with it and blow my brains out. Or I will leave it loaded in the playroom of my 2-year-old grandchild, who will pick it up, pull the trigger, and I will blow me away. In other words, adults are treated like children. Or to be crude, adults are treated like assholes. And no, I won't accept that. I won't accept that as an adult. The far better approach is to treat people as responsible adults. Look, here's the lay of the land. You can have a gun, keep a gun, but in fact, I believe you should be able to carry a gun. The thing is, though, you don't go around shooting people, except in the most dire circumstances in self-defense. A park is a place to go and enjoy yourself, to be with others, but perhaps a safe distance, to enjoy the fresh air, to see the birds, to see the water, or whatever the case might be. Maybe just to lie on the grass and enjoy the first hints of spring, if that's what's happening in your area. That's what an adult would do. And if I have children with me, under my responsible supervision, that's what the children will do. Just because the odd person may not do that, shouldn't give the government the right to take it all away from us. And that's what they're doing. It's the same with guns. A gun is meant to be used or maybe collected. It's meant to be used. In this case of many guns, maybe for hunting or for target practice or extreme cases for self-defense. It's meant to be used responsibly. Yes, of course, you shouldn't take a gun and go into a bar and discharge it willy-nilly and to scare people or whatever. But the assumption is... it's a tool that's there to be used, and it's presumed that as an adult you will use it responsibly, and it's only if you don't that problems occur legally. rather than, well, you mightn't use it right, so we'll take it away from you. That'll show you. Anyway, this is the totalitarian attitude that we must fight against, and you know I take this very seriously. I see government or other authority figures are really prepared to abuse us. Now, whether it's an even deeper agenda, I don't know. There's a lot of people who make a connection between the coronavirus and this new communications technology, the 5G. I've looked at some material. I'm not 100% sure if I feel more confident about it, I'll bring it to your attention. There's lots of stuff up there on the internet, though. But I do see this as this so-called crisis as an opportunity to abuse us. Occasionally, it's possible it's done with good intentions, but good intentions don't always cut it. And I think we have a right as citizens to demand to be treated as adults, and not to be treated as children. And believe me, if you consent to be treated as a child, you will be treated as a child. Anyway, lots of other interesting stories. it looks as though our government completely missed the mark on the coronavirus. A failure of early warning. There's an intelligence expert in intelligence studies in Canada, a university professor named Wesley Wark, and I knew him over 25 years ago. He's actually getting on now, but he was actually a young up-and-coming professor when I knew him in the very early 90s. It was last on a list of 8 threat scenarios, but the danger of a global pandemic made the cut when the Liberal government issued a national security policy in 2014. With the then recent SARS outbreak, 2004, which is like 1 year before. With the then recent SARS outbreak in mind, the government said it would integrate its approach to public health emergencies with its national security agenda, including when drafting threat assessments. This is for the branch of government that does long-range planning. The promise wasn't fulfilled, leaving Canada woefully exposed during the COVID-19 crisis. Security and intelligence expert Professor Wesley Wark said recently, quote, despite the idea that we were going to do this with a national security policy, it just never happened, said Professor Wark. Rather, Canada was left to rely on open source information, including assumptions about timely and accurate reporting from countries such as China. So we were left trusting, like silly fools, at least our leaders were, the lying Chinese. And then, of course, our response was also crippled by the anti-racist fanaticism of people like our prime minister and the mysterious chief officer of health, this China woman named Theresa Tam, who is a militant feminist and was up until very, very recently lecturing us about racism. If you look askance at a Chinese person because they might have the coronavirus, well, you were a racist, and that was, it was worse to be a racist than to get sick. But it's clear that we just weren't ready. And it's not that information wasn't available. we'd had a close brush with SARS. This was another Chinese-imported virus. It killed a fair number of people, but it did not spread very much. It was actually confined to really a couple of hospitals where it spread like wildfire, but it didn't spread out much in the general population. But that should have been a bit of a wake-up call. And what the supposedly bright people in security and long-range planning do is they look at possible scenarios. Well, what if this happened? What would our response be? And supposedly they try to work out response plans for a number of different bad case scenario. So what can we do in such an instance? Now that makes sense. So it doesn't have to be completely made up as they go along. Well, this is a great story. Accusations that migrants are being mistreated jeopardizes China's heavy investments to gain influence in Africa. I have some problems with that idea about migrants in China. China accepting Africans? Migrants usually means refugees. I don't know if they're there as cheap labor or what, but anyway, there are some Africans in China, and they're right now there. They're not very happy. They're being victims of discrimination, they say. African governments are protesting against the inhumane treatment of Africans in China, who've been evicted from their homes, barred from restaurants, and forced to sleep in the streets under Chinese antivirus measures. The incidents documented in videos and eyewitness accounts that circulated widely on the media, on the internet this weekend, have been condemned by some African diplomats as evidence of racial discrimination and unfair treatment. One video clip showed a member evicted Africans sleeping under a bridge in the Chinese city of Guangzhou. An African shoved against a wall by a policeman. Another African locked into his room and told to call the government if he wants water. And a fast food restaurant with a laminated notice reading, "Black people are not allowed to enter." You may say, why do I laugh? Well, the Chinese minority in Canada has come a long way the last 20, 30 years playing the racism card. The fact is, all people are racially conscious, and all people don't necessarily like some people of other races, more so, less so, depending on the time and circumstances. The Chinese have a lot of very choice names for non-whites. For blacks, they have a number of terms that play on the idea of monkey. You probably get the idea. For whites, one is Guai Lo, which means pale ghost, kind of making fun of our complexion. Because Orientals tend to have very little body hair, and whites do have more. One of the other terms for us is big hairy hands. And then, of course, the more general thing, foreign devils and terms like that. So, there's a play made between racism and anti-racism. I say that the choice isn't between anti-racism and racism, whatever racism is, but race realism. Race is a factor. It's an aspect of the human condition. Most people recognize races, that I'm a member of one race, you may be a member of a different race. We're not all the same, and so on and so on. That's race realism. Race isn't the only factor, but it is a factor. Okay. And I would say the Chinese are race realists. And the fact is that they generally don't like blacks very much. Now, Chinese government has tried to downplay it. China's made major inroads in Africa, investments, all of them for entirely selfish reasons. They want to secure food supplies, they want political influence, and so on. And I can deal with that because I've seen some of this with my own eyes in Africa. I can deal with this on another show. Anyway, how did this all begin? Chinese authorities, after quelling the original coronavirus outbreak in the city of Wuhan, have been focusing on cases suspected of being imported by travelers from abroad. So they pretty much contained it and suppressed it, or so they say, and it may be so. Okay. In the large city of Guangzhou, which is in South China, it's a major trading hub, has a large African community. Chinese media said five Nigerians broke a mandatory quarantine and visited restaurants and other public places, forcing nearly 2,000 people to be tested for the virus or placed under quarantine. The reports led to widespread public anger and the perception that African migrants were a threat. Here's another interesting factoid. China has reported 983 imported cases of the virus so far, but it has acknowledged that about 90% of those cases are Chinese citizens returning from abroad. So Chinese who took the virus overseas and brought it back, or caught it from other Chinese overseas and brought it back. So of the travelers bringing it into China, 90% were Chinese. But there were these Nigerians, and the Nigerians didn't obey the quarantine, and they infected several people, which caused considerable disruption. Uh, 2,000 people to be tested, that's a lot of people, and some people put into quarantine. Well, no wonder the Chinese may have a negative feeling about some of the blacks. African diplomats in Peking protested that there'd been discrimination and stigmatization of Africans in Guangzhou. That they've been reportedly evicted from their apartments or hotels in the middle of the night, being threatened with arrest or deportation, or forcefully subjected to coronavirus testing. I think if somebody is iffy, that they should be tested. If they have to be forced, well, so be it. In one case, there was apparently a police order to hotels to get rid of the Africans there. So basically, what you have here is the Chinese operating with a certain degree of race realism. And notice the same propaganda terms are used, that they're being stigmatized. Well, no, but if a number of these people, especially from Nigeria, were carrying the coronavirus, it makes sense that the Chinese authorities would want to move against them. Or, I mean, just not want that to loose in society, or want them tested. I mean, that only makes sense. I'm going to take my musical break right now. This is Paul Fromm. You're on the fighting side of me. I thought, why don't we play something a little bit more cheerful than after all this coronavirus stuff? This is some good German. Drinking music. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on
white resistance right here.
Thank you.
this is Paul Fromm, back with you again tomorrow. Sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me, here on Alt-Right TV and WhiteResistanceRadio.com. And I'll be here to get the Maple Leaf Forever. And why precisely we're not getting it, I do not know. We will try it one more time. We do have our problems with technology sometimes, don't we?
In days of yore, from Britain's shore, Wolfe the dauntless hero came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our boast, our pride, and joined in love together, the fiddle shamrock rose entwine, the maple leaf forever. Loved ones dear firmly stood and know.